not trying to figure out what else is out there. Somebody said, I searched all over. Since they don't search, they no use of me searching. I mean, you know, it's a waste of no unnecessary time. I believe God is good and he's good all the time. I believe he's better to me than I sometimes realize. I have felt this year, and I've shared this with you all previously. I'm going to delve into this. I'm going to ask you and challenge you spiritually to grow with me this year. Not just to go with me, but to grow with me. I am embarking upon, I believe, a journey that God has called every believer to. And I want to start this new year off talking about manifesting the invisible, walking in the hidden realities of God. I'm talking about manifesting the invisible, and I'll get to the actual subject title that I'll do for the day here momentarily, but I want you to understand my heart on what I'm saying. I'm talking about manifesting the invisible because there are things out here that are not seen that I believe God wants to manifest. Let me give you an illustration. Most of us are aware of being filled with the Holy Ghost. You don't see him, but you can manifest him. How? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. It's the fruit of being filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to manifest the invisible. The invisible is just saying what we need to manifest what's not seen. Not that it's not seeable, it's just not seen. I don't want to be a Christian that's not manifesting what God wants to manifest. The Bible says Jesus was the express image. In other words, when God wanted to show what he really looked like, he said, here's Jesus. Now, when Jesus wants to show what he looks like, here we are. Are we really expressing who he is? The Bible says that the will of God, in essence, is for us to be conformed to the image of his dear son. Yes, sir. So, we want to manifest the invisible, and we want to walk in the hidden realities of God. I believe that everybody know that we in this room today, right? That's a reality. Do you know that there are some hidden realities in God? Okay, you say like for what? But let me just give you one today, and we'll talk about this one in the future, and then we'll go into what I'm going to deal with. Wisdom. Do you know that there's the wisdom of God, not earthly wisdom, which is sensual, which is demonic or devilish, the Bible says. There is the wisdom of God. The Bible speaks of Solomon having the spirit of wisdom. Solomon wasn't wise because he had become old and gathered a bunch of knowledge. The spirit of wisdom, God placed the spirit of wisdom on him, and he was able to deal with every aspect of life. He could handle finances, he could horticulture, agriculture, all of that. He became adept in all of these skills because the spirit of wisdom came on him. That's a hidden reality. God has not changed. Why can't he give you a witty invention on your job? Why can't he give you an idea that would change everything? You know why? Because we don't believe in the hidden realities of God. We just think that just normal, everyday, like everybody else. You would be blown away at how many things Christians have invented. I want to challenge you to go with me and to grow with me this year. Because I think it's time for us to manifest these hidden realities. There's more to life than what we have seen thus far. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Is it chapter 9 and verse 9, or is it 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9? So I remember it from before. I'm trying to find it on my thing here. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. We're going to get it together. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Let's go back to verse 9. It hasn't entered into the heart of man, so that means we ain't even imagined it. We haven't heard it, and we haven't seen it. Are y'all ready? This is going to be a spiritual thing today. If you're not spiritual, you're not going to get this. It's going to go right over your head. Because watch this. We haven't seen it. We haven't heard it. We haven't imagined it. Watch this. And it ain't for everybody. We ain't seen it, we ain't heard it, we ain't imagined it, and it ain't for everybody. Pastor, what do you mean? He says the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, everybody don't love it. He prepared it for everybody. He prepared, I feel the anointing, he prepared it for those that love him. So it ain't working for everybody. If you're trying to figure out, well, why, Pastor talking about this, I ain't never heard nothing like, well, I'm going to look at the book and see what it said. Now I know everybody don't love him. I'm learning this. Folks could act one way in front of you and be something else totally another time. They, whatever. So I ain't trying to figure out all the dynamics why stuff don't work for other people. I'm just finding out what's in the book and how it needs to work for me. Now you can go with me on this if you want to. So this is not for everybody, but them that love him. Now, look at verse 10. I'm going to show you how it's not for everybody again. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So if you're not part of the us, the spiritual, because he ain't revealing this by your flesh. This is a spiritual revelation. It's a spiritual unveiling. So if you're not into it, well, you need to show me some. Listen, okay, it ain't for you. You're not ready for it. I'm still just warming up. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So they reveal by his Spirit. Now, I'm not going to be here long today. So I know some of y'all might have went somewhere last night and y'all was up and doing these late parties and all of this, and I understand. You wanted to, you know, bring your new year in. I hope it was something godly. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir. I mean, you saints can have parties too. I mean, you know. I ain't against having a party. Hallelujah. Just, you know. When they break open the champagne, I hope you had something else. I just said, Lord, help us. I'm telling you, I'm going to be a witness. I am. I'm going to be a witness. I want to talk to you today from the subject, manifesting the invisible, walking in the hidden realities of God's protection. Walking in the hidden realities of God's protection. Now, I want you to slow your roll today. I want you to hear what I'm saying. I told you this wasn't for everybody. Everybody don't get this. It's being revealed by His Spirit. But I believe that there's a protection for the people that love God. Now, we're sitting here in 2017 now. I don't believe God, like the late Bishop Lockett would say, God never does anything unnecessary. So why is He talking to us about this? Why? Must be necessary. Go with me to Exodus chapter 14, verse 17. Exodus chapter 14, verse 17. Now, the children of Israel have been in bondage for 430 years. The Lord had told them that He was going to bring them out. He had told Moses He was going to harden the heart of Pharaoh. So you've got the situation where God's bringing them out now. I want to show you something, and I believe this is an example of the hidden reality of protection that God gives His people. Now, just go slow with me here, because I know you know the story, and sometimes in knowing the story, you miss what God is doing in the midst of the story, because it seemed like sometimes when we read about stuff, we don't. In my mind, I ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, take me there. Amen. I want to see stuff. I want to smell it. I want to touch it. What's happening? Because it's a hidden reality. Do you know that God is not stuck by time? It's sometimes stuff that I believe I could say. And if I say, but I just feel like some people just bend you over backwards in your mind and you just be stuck right there and everything else will be lost. So when we move into this new building, I'm going to have sessions where we just have time that we're going to get together with folk that want to be there. And we're going to get into this word. We're going to delve into this thing. I am not going to be a Sunday morning, Wednesday evening Christian, and that's all we do. I want something that changes my life that folks can see the difference. If not, why are we doing this? We got kids growing up. What are they seeing? This generation needs to see a genuine move of God. They need to see the real deal. We can't sit up here and sit in church, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and then we going out and we cussing somebody out. You disqualifying yourself. Exodus 14 and 17. And I behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. Now, let's begin to look at this. So, God said, I'm going to harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they're going to follow you. So just because an enemy pursues you does not mean God is not protecting you. Oh, this is about to get a whole lot better. Verse 18, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. So God can cause the hidden reality of His protection to produce honor for Him. See, sometimes we don't understand how the manifold wisdom of God works. He was allowing the Egyptians to follow them so that He could get honor and they would recognize who He was. We can look at the story and just see Israel running. No, no, no. You need to look at the story and see the God who allowed the Egyptians to follow. Because He could have wiped everybody out in Egypt. But would He have gotten honor? Verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. It was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all the night. Now, that's so loaded. I'm going to take a little time on those two verses, if you don't mind. The angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel. So there was an angel leading them. The angel that was leading them by the command of God said, oh, wait a minute. I need to go behind you, because an enemy is pursuing you. So the angel which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. So the angel goes back there, but watch this, the pillar of the cloud. Now, I need you to come and lock in. This was something you could see. Let's not get all mysterious and deep and think it's in the third dimension and all of this. This was something you could see. Israel literally watched this cloud go. Oh, man, it's on now. They watched that. Watch the cloud move. Now, whether they saw the angel or not, don't know. But the cloud they could see. The cloud was their sign on when to move and when to stay. So they watched the cloud move. Y'all with me? And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Now, so the cloud divides them. Y'all see all the work that Israel is doing, right? You do get all of the hard work they're doing. A bunch of slaves that don't know nothing about fighting, you see all the hard work they're doing. Now, so it's between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them. Don't you know God could be something else to your enemies than he is to you? And still be God. It was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these. Look at this. So that the one came not near the other all the night. So how can a cloud be darkness and light? Y'all ready now? Let me see if you're really there now. Let me ask you some questions to see if you're there or not, Sharon. Just a couple questions. What stopped a host of chariots from catching up with a multitude of people on foot? You ever really thought about that? Okay, they got horses and chariots. And these folks walking. What stopped them from catching up? According to the text, it's a cloud that's between their camp and the Egyptians. They couldn't catch up because God stopped them right there. You can't go beyond this. Let me show you what's been happening, because you can miss the story. Everybody knew what had happened in Egypt beforehand, all of the plagues. Do you realize that God is now showing them? He is literally showing that he was their hidden reality of protection. All along, it was me. And I'm going to show you now by this cloud. You may have thought it was other gods and doing this, just defeating your God. I'm going to show you in this cloud, it was me all along. Watch this. See, they were protected by the hidden reality. Now, the only thing that's happening is now God is showing what the reality was all along. Oh, my goodness. Look what he says here. It says, so that the one came not near the other all the night. What are you saying, Pastor? The protection will last as long as necessary. Because it wasn't that God ran out of protection at the end of the night. They needed protection all night to cross over the Red Sea. If you, and you know the story, I ain't got time to keep going on all of, because he got a, once they got across, the cloud moved. Why? So they can go down up in there. The hidden protection, which was a reality all along, moved once they got across. Why? So they could go down in there thinking, well, he parted it for them. Maybe we could go through that. You know, that's one of the craziest things in the world when you really think about it. Number one, ain't nobody ever seen the sea parted. The Bible, when you look at the, when you really look at the text, it talks about the Red Sea parting. I don't know if you understand parting, what it really meant. It meant just like we're here and the aisle is divided. The water's divided like that and the ground in between was dry. All the way through the sea. But that's magnificent by itself. But when it says parted, that word parted means jailed. The walls of water jailed. What was liquid became solid. Well, they were able to walk through, and I don't know what could you see looking. Can you imagine walking through all of this water? You just walking. I don't know what was swimming through that. All of that. So now the Egyptians say, well, that's amazing. Let me go follow them. You just think it had to be somebody go like, you know what? That's not a good idea. Like somebody would have caught on it. That's not a good idea. But let me stay in the text. I mean, I can't do all of that. So the protection will last as long as necessary. Let me get to go with me to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. I'm going to do this and see what happens here. Job chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and escheweth evil. Did y'all see that? There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. So he hated evil. Do you realize that God first described Job's greatest assets? Most people that read about Job think about all the stuff he had. God talked about the character of the man. When God describes you, what does he talk about? What kind of character does he mention? See, it wasn't about Job's possessions. That's not what made him great. Amen. We get it twisted. We think he was great because of his stuff. God didn't recommend Job because of his stuff. He recommended Job because of his character. Is your character recommendable? Look at how God first starts off describing this man. And you know what? His greatest assets were hidden. Because you couldn't see them, people will tend to overlook them. See, I'm telling you, this year, I want to be spiritually minded. I want to be I'm tired of the fluff. That ain't the answer. Verse 2. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Now the Bible gives a detailed description of his family and his possessions. But notice his greatest asset was already described. You know, if Job was here today, Job need a whole lot of property just to handle all the stuff he got. Job rich today. He wasn't just rich then, Job rich today. Verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. That's a unique scripture. Some scholars say different things about it. The sons of God implying the angels of God. So the angels show up, and the Bible says, and Satan came also among them. Potentially, I don't know if this is inferring that the enemy can show up and even the angels can't recognize him. For the Bible says, and Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So you have to be careful. Folks trying to deal with the enemy, listen, that ain't your territory. There's nowhere in the book where God tells you to deal with him. So when he shows up, he's even with the angels. Now, did they know? Don't know. Bible don't go into that. But we do know he's amongst them. Okay? You know, it's amazing. The first few verses are in reference to Job's greatest assets or his character. The next few verses begin to talk about his possessions. Now we get into a period of time where Job is not even discussed. In other words, something is happening behind the scenes that Job is not even privy to. Why? Because we've already established what your assets are. We no longer need to involve you in this process. It's already established. God help us to already be established. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? You don't speak first with God. Oh, we need to get the principle here. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Everybody acting like the devil is so great, you can't even speak to God, release you, and ask you something. The angels may not have knew who he was, but God had no problem. So what you doing here? Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, what you doing here? Where are you coming from? Satan answered the Lord. Well, you going to sit there and act like you can't talk? No, you going to answer. See, I'm saying people don't understand. Look at how God, when God is commanding of a situation, you all. This is, people got this mixed up reality that God and the devil are having a war. It's not like that. Satan showed up and behaved himself. Oh, for real, look at the text. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Where are you coming from? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. Anything else you want to know? Because, see, we got to realize who God is. I'm tired of acting like, well, you know, I don't know. We praying for stuff and act like we a God that is barely making it. How are we going? He made Satan behave himself in conversation. Yes, sir. Verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Satan can't even ask for nothing. He said, well, you know, you've been walking all around. He said, let me offer you something. Not you requesting anything. You remember what Jesus said about when he said to Peter, he says, the enemy has desired to sift you. So I already know what you want. This is the God we serve, you all. Lord, just illuminate our minds. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. So he goes back to his greatest assets. Wonder why God didn't describe none of his camels, none of his oxen, none of his sheep, none of his children. See, I want some of you all to understand, because you don't have the stuff, God don't look at you like you less than. See, I know our society teaches, you know, he who has the most toys win, but that's a lie. You don't have to get all out to extend yourself beyond what you're capable of paying, and you all in debt because you're trying to look a certain way. God didn't even describe Job's possessions. Talked about his character. Then Satan answered the Lord after God got through talking and said, doth Job fear God for naught? He said, he ain't fearing you for nothing. I want y'all to see something. He ain't fear. See, I'm going to paraphrase in a minute, but let me get to this next one so you can understand. Verse 10, hast not thou made a hedge about it and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. He said, he don't fear you for nothing. You don't hook him up. But let me show you the hookup. Because I'm going to get ready to close. Hast not thou made an hedge about him? This word hedge, if I'm not mistaken, is used three times in the scriptures. Only three. It means to hedge or fence up or about. It means to shut in formation as a protection or restraint. So you mean sometimes God can restrain you from something and it's really protecting you? Okay, let me go to this side. Sometimes God can restrain you from doing what you want to do, and it's really a protection because he made a hedge. Just a hedge. You thinking it's all right, but he said it's a hedge. Now let's step back for a second. Y'all all right here? You sure everybody all right? Let's maybe go back and look at a little something here then. Verse 9, when Satan answers the Lord and says, does Job fear you for naught? He says, verse 10, you don't made a hedge around it. So the hidden reality of God's protection, the enemy can see. The hidden reality of God. Watch this. Job didn't say this. Job himself may not have been aware of the hedge, but the enemy was. This hedge, the enemy says, that's why he's serving you because of that. But watch this. I'm about to tilt the scales now. Watch this. And y'all know the story. That's why y'all know this. Now watch. Verse 10. Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side. Watch this. So the hedge is around you personally. I watched, let me divert just for a moment. I want to leave a little pin right there. I was watching a video of a lady. They had a lady and her kids, something on YouTube. I don't know how I found it or whatever. I don't know if it was on news or what. But anyway, the lady was changing her baby. She had a newborn. And she had like a 18-month, two-year-old. The lady is changing the baby on the changing table. And she turns, I don't know, to throw the pamper away or something. And when she turned to throw the pamper away this way, the newborn rolled off the table. Now, you know how high off the floor a changing table is. This little 18-month, two-year-old that's over in the corner runs over and catches this baby before the baby hits the floor. Now wait a minute. If you see it, you just say, oh, wow, the little boy caught the baby. To me, that's got to be there's got to be something else in there that you can't see with your natural eye. Because it wasn't like that little child was watching the other. It's almost like an angel took that little baby over there, slid him across the floor right under the other child, and he caught him perfectly. Perfectly. Because, see, I believe God puts a hedge around us. Okay. And Ken, I'm going to just do a little bit of this, because I don't have time right now. Yes, sir. Yes. But he gives his angels charge over thee, lest thou fall. Lest thou fall and dash your foot against a stone. It's the hidden reality of the protection that God gives his people. Let me go back to my text so we can find somewhere to close here. So hast thou not made a hedge around it? So the hedge, the fence, or the protection or restraint is around you personally. Then he says, and about his house or his family. Do you understand that because of Job, there's now a hedge of protection around his entire family? Let me stop for a second. It's worth living right. It's worth living right. You may not see it. I may look crazy to you. I may be just going about, I don't understand all of that. But you know what? Because of the hedge that's on my life, you're benefiting from it. Boy, I just, okay, let's see if we can just stay here. So, and about his house, and about all he hath on every side. You can't lose your stuff. I'm telling you, will somebody get it? Listen to me. You can't lose your stuff. Because it's a hedge. See, if you would stay with me, you see something that's starting to form here. If you go back with me, you see a principle that the enemy is having a conversation with God. What he really saying is, I can't do nothing because there's a hedge there. I want to do this. I've been wanting to tear him up all along because he's been a witness. He's been the one that's making a difference in the land. I've been wanting to get that, but I can't do nothing because there's a hedge around him, around his family, and everything he owns. I've been wanting to get to him. He ain't serving you for nothing. Look what you done for him. Look what's going on with him. See, everybody else don't see it. But the enemy see it. Because he can't do what he want to do. It's a hidden reality of the protection of God. Ain't for everybody, for them that love him. It's for them that love him. Job feared God, one that escheweth evil. See, when we get to the point where we understand, you know what? It may happen to somebody else, but not here. Not here. Can't happen here. I got a hedge. I got a hedge. Because I love him for real. Not because I'm playing church. I got a hedge for real. Well, you know, Pastor, I don't understand. You know, it look like you going through the same thing everybody else going through. No, you don't know that there's an enemy that won't take me out right now. There's an enemy that's got a petition. He would love. He's an accuser of the brethren. He would love to do it right now. Can't do it. It's a hedge. He can't handle the hedge. Yeah, it may not look like everything going right for me, but it's a hedge. It's a hidden reality now. And you know what? Everybody else can't see it, but the enemy sees it. That enemy sees it. Let me get ready to finish. Let me get ready to finish here. Lord, help me. Mm-mm-mm. I'm going to do this and I'm going to see if we can just bring this together. So the hedge, the protection or the restraint was around Job personally. It was around Job's family. It was around all his possessions. Anything under your name. Listen to me. Anything under your name, anything that you are solely responsible for, it cannot go under. It cannot be reclaimed. It cannot be retracted. It cannot be stolen. It cannot be taken. Why? Because there is a hedge. Just live right. Just live right. For worrying about what's going to happen. Who's in charge now? Well, you know, President-elect Trump, he might do this. Well, they might do so and so. I don't care. I got a hedge. I got something they can't see. Don't matter who's in charge. My hedge is there. My hedge is there and it's real. Now I'm not going to finish all of that story, but I want to show you something. He says, thou hast blessed the work of his hands and his substance is increased in the land. So God blessed even the works that he was doing, increased his substance. That's in addition to the hedge. But I'm going to stop with this. The enemy was there to get permission for the hedge to be removed. Everything that you're going to see in the rest of the story of Job is after permission has been granted for the hedge to be removed. But watch this. God could recommend Job because his greatest asset was his character. Job didn't need the hedge to protect his character. The hedge protected his life. Because he formed his character with God. The enemy comes to get permission for the hedge. Watch this. What does the scripture says? Break the hedge and the serpent will strike. The hedge has got to be broken. That's why the enemy wanted permission to get the hedge broken. He wanted it to be broken down so he would have access to Job's life now. So what I'm saying is just this, and we're closing. I don't care how bad things may look, how bad you may sometimes feel. If you are living upright before God, there's a hedge around your life, even if you can't see it, it is a hidden reality that enemy is dealing with every day. He just go, I wish that hedge wasn't there. Boy, if that hedge wasn't there, this is what I'd be doing. If that hedge were, he see it, he know it, because it's a hidden reality. And if you would just walk in the reality, don't worry about stuff. It's a hedge. Why are you worrying? Last scripture, Bernard, right here. Psalms, last scripture, Psalms 34:7. Now watch this. See, we say stuff. We quote stuff. I want to understand stuff. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. You want to talk about a hedge? That word encampeth means to dwell or to abide, to make your abode. The angel of the Lord lives. Set up house. Roundabout. This ain't just a temporary one-shot deal. Will y'all give me some time? I'll do something. I don't have enough time today to do all of this anyway, but I got some more. Okay. I mean, if y'all on my, I'm serious. Look at this. That word encampeth means to pitch a tent. The angel actually sets up shop around you. Okay, go to Acts chapter 12, verse 5. I told you, let's go on a journey this year. Let's really get this thing. You know the Bible says, what we're jumping into right now, the context of the story is Peter's been arrested. He's been put in jail. The Bible says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So Peter's in prison, and the church is praying. Now, I don't know if Peter know the church is praying or not. All I know is Peter is in prison. Now, I think there's sometimes in our life where we think this hedge is not working anymore. Because of the circumstances or the situations that we may be dealing with, we come to a conclusion mentally at times that the hedge don't work or that there's no hedge there. Look at this. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Now, Peter is in prison. It would seem that the next day is his execution and the man is asleep. Not just sleep, but sleep in between two soldiers. Not that he needed to be in between them to keep warm. He's in between the two soldiers because it's their job to guard him. Now, please go with me here. You know, let's go into the prison and see Peter. When Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains. So Peter is asleep in between two soldiers, and he's bound with two chains. Y'all with me? Now, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. So if just like you see Doug and James over there, and Peter would be like the amp in between them. And then not only is Peter the amp in between them, but the amp would have two chains on it. And not only is Peter the amp in between them with two chains on it, but then outside is the door is guards. So you can't get in any other way. See, I want you to see how awesome this hedge is. Just because you can't see it, don't mean it ain't there. I'm talking about the hidden realities of God. So he's in between two soldiers locked up with two chains, and there are also guards outside the door. Verse 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hand. So the angel, now watch this. The guard outside the door, just hold on for a second. The two guards that Peter is in between that are sleeping, the angel shows up and get up. Now, the only thing that the people are, there's a light shining in the prison, but he has to hit Peter, get up. Peter is asleep for real. Watch this. He smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hand. He didn't bring the key. Hello? He didn't need the key. I mean, you know, we watch the movies where they have to, you know, knock the guard out, get the key off his belt and go on there. He didn't need the key. I want to show you something. Verse 8. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself, bind on the... He said, put on your clothes. We getting up out of here. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. So the angel physically awakes Peter by gently nudging him. I just want to make you aware that there is no mention of interaction with the guard. This hedge, people in the natural cannot handle. Tony, we're going to pray right now, brother. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I speak now health and healing from the crown of my brother's head now to the sole of his feet. Every infirmity, Father, we rebuke it now in the name of Jesus. God, we call forth every hidden reality, every provision that you have for this man of God. We shake it loose from him now. Everything that the enemy has sought to do to curse him, Lord, to afflict him, Father, in his body. Father, by your stripes, Lord Jesus, we declare openly and boldly the name of Jesus now. I speak health and healing that he will receive it now in the name of Jesus. We believe it done. Amen and amen. We curse the roots of the enemy. It shall no longer afflict his body in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The hidden realities of God. It's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day. I believe God is looking for opportunities where we will simply say, not so. We will no longer accept everything that enemy wants to bring. Hallelujah. Don't yet, Joan, if you don't mind, if you or Candace, if y'all can make sure he's good. Hallelujah. Tony, we're here with you, brother. We're here with you. Glory. Glory, glory. God know what we have need of. Hallelujah. So let me go ahead and close right quick. The Bible says he cast off his garment, the last part of verse 8, about thee and follow me. There's no mention of them dealing with the guards. They were no resistance. Verse 9, and it says he went out and followed him. And wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. To Peter, it all seemed like a vision or a dream. So there's, watch this. What God chooses to show us sometimes may look like just a dream. It may look like just a dream. Oh, Lord, it's just, but it's the hidden reality being made manifest. You may not see it in the sense of, wow, look at this. Let me keep going at that to make more sense. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them as of its own accord. You know the gate opened by itself. Okay, just make sure we're there. They went out, passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel to have delivered me out of the hand of Herod from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. There are some hidden realities of God that you may not realize until afterwards. After Peter got out, he came to himself. goodness, this was God. This hidden reality was God. I didn't even know what was going on. Don't think that you got to be in charge and know what's going on to have an insight on everything that's transpiring. God don't need you to have a hidden reality manifest. Just live right. Peter was asleep. You can't get no more uninvolved in sleep. Watch this. We about to close this up because I want you to see something. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. As Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. So she's so excited, she heard his voice, she didn't open the door. See, you need to know who you got on the door. Everybody can't be on the door. Peter been in jail, got a serious testimony. Oh, I heard him. And you just take off and leave him. Brother's still at the door. So she runs in and they said unto her, you mad, girl, you crazy. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then say they, listen. Then said they, it is his angel. Okay, maybe nobody else has got this, so let me take a quick moment. Then said they, it is a angel. So you mean to tell me they're assigned to us? Is anybody home? It's his angel. Not somebody else's, his angel. Oh, well, Pastor, I don't know. You may be out, you might just kind of be out in left field on that. Really? So what about Michael, who's the archangel for Israel? The archangel for an entire nation. It looks, well, could this imply that those who are God-fearing and walk upright before God have angels assigned to them? Maybe that's a hidden reality we need to walk in. Last scripture and we're done. Psalms 91 and 11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Not some of them. They're not restricted to you being in prison. Even in prison, they still got an assignment. Even when folks are chained to you, they still got an assignment. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not go unpunished. If God could still punish the wicked hand in hand, can't he bless the righteous? Verse 12, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Bernard, do that in the New Living Translation. Watch this. I'm talking about the hidden reality of protection. Not angels. See, we get twisted on angels. They're just doing their assignment. Verse 11. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. All they're doing is keeping their assignment. They're just fulfilling their assignment. So some of the, watch this, some of the stuff that should have killed you, you go like, man, and watch this, Doug, here's the interesting thing. Some of it, later on, you go like, wow, you had to come to yourself. Because the hidden reality was being manifest, but you didn't know it because you was caught up in what you was doing. It should have killed you. But an angel had an assignment. Ain't time for you to get up out of here yet. Verse 12. I'm done. Verse 12. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Their assignment is that there's only so far that you can fall. Their assignment is literally to hold you. Now don't go be stupid and, you know, I'm going to jump off the building. thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That's the same scripture that Satan is using with Jesus when he quotes Psalm 91. Because he knows there's angels assigned. Watch it. He keeps telling us, Satan is telling us in the scriptures, I see the hedge. He keeps saying, I see the hidden reality around you. I can't do nothing about it, so I keep trying to get people to void the hedge. He tried to get Jesus to jump off the building because that would have been tempting God, which would have voided the hedge. But he has to say, didn't the scripture say he'll get angels charged over? In other words, I know there's a hedge. I'm finished.